Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk. Very excited about this team. And Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
When you get Kirk Cousins and you talk about short-term winning, you talk about winning right now, which we know we're going to be in position to do, which we want to be in position to do, we won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly. And we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low in these moments and to be able to move forward. You know, fortunately enough with us, we got a Kirk Cousin in the building. We got a guy that can go out there and win football games. And we should be picking high enough. We talked about winning the South. We talked about doing some of these things. That includes going to the playoffs. You just seen six quarterbacks go off the board before the 12th pick of the draft. And we don't want to be picking on it anymore. And Terry's done a nice job of getting us some really good players, some quality players, but we don't want to be back in that position. So let's move forward, think about the future, address that right now.
That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. No, it does. Wait, hold on. All right, wait, it does. Wait a minute. Let me say this, Michael.
Okay.
If I were doing a scouting report on Michael Smith,
okay,
I'm not always right. I'm right most of the time, but I'm not always right.
No,
but I'm
not.
Always fair. I've always set out to be fair. And sometimes, honestly, quick sidebar, but related. Sometimes I think I'm too fair for my own good. I'm too measured, too balanced, too reasonable, too sensible sometimes for my own good. Because that,
talking about me.
I'm saying like that, because that doesn't get you clicks and likes and shit, you know, in 2024, right? You know, but it's never been my style. And I think a lot of that has to do with my reporting background, your reporting background, the information that we're privy to. Sometimes, you know, the stuff we know gets in the way of what we think or feel, right? Because we have so much information and much access to these people, right? And it's like, and to say nothing of the relationships. And so, you know, we know so much until it's like, we oftentimes give these teams the benefit of the doubt. I'm literally talking to somebody who's been in draft rooms and written books about the process and understands, you know, what goes on in these rooms and how these teams think. If anybody knows how teams think, it's you, right? And so I think I've been guilty over the years, especially not just in sports talk in general, but especially with the draft. Maybe I've been a little too understanding, you know, and too not forgiving. Forgiving is not the right word, but just, you know, just almost like pro team or what have you.
Yeah, thoughtful. Having said, you know, you're thoughtful having, about it.
Having yeah, said you know, like... all that, having said all that,
yeah,
what in the entire fuck are the Falcons doing? you know, I like Ra. You know, I like Raheem Morris a lot. You know, I like Terry Fontenot a lot. But what the fuck are the Falcons doing? Like, no, that didn't make any sense. I mean,
none.
You could have thought about the future without investing $100 million guaranteed in Kirk Cousins. You didn't have to do that. You could have, as much, even if this does work out, okay, I'm gonna give it to you. I'm gonna give it to you on this point. Even if it does work out, even if Michael Penix is the next Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers before him, even if this plan, this succession plan, leads to success, it still doesn't make any sense. It was still the wrong decision. I don't care if Michael Penix delivers them the Super Bowl that has eluded the Atlanta Falcons for their entire franchise history.
Well,
this still, the way they went about it, the way they went about getting him after guaranteeing Kirk Cousins $100 million, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if you had concerns about Kirk Cousins' longevity or injury history, why'd you sign him? Like, it just, I'm sorry. I want to like this. I want to understand it. I don't. I'm busting my headphones.
You know, there's so much. There's so much here. Before we even talk about the pick, let's talk about the building. Now, we were all hyped up. Remember, you were hyped up. You wanted to run through a wall.
I did. That's my guy.
That's the vision. That's the plan. Okay?
That's the plan.
Right. Here we go. Hey, here's our coaches. Hey, young Keese. Right here. Here it is. Here's the plan. Here's the vision. He's hyped up. Okay, we're going to win the South. This is what we're going to do.
I'll run the
this
South, right? Wasn't that the line?
Mental health is real. This is all, like, all this stuff. He's like,
jobs. Everybody in the right. job.
I got relationships. I got relationship with Kirk Cousins, Bijan Robinson, Grady. They're the boy. He got commercials. Mama got commercials. He's all hyped. Like,
I know.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what's messed up about it. Let's start with the building. You're saying Kirk Cousins is the guy in the relationships, and according to reports, Kirk Cousins found out, his representative actually found out, when they were on the clock. When they're on the clock about to draft Michael Penix, hey, you know what, let's call Kirk. Well, no, let's not call him. Let's call the agent. Hey, you know, look, we love Kirk and everything, but, you know, right here at number 8, we're thinking about Michael Penix, but Kirk is our quarterback. We love him. And I love it. The headline, one of the headlines, like, Cousins is confused. He should be. Cousins, you're confused, and so are we. So the way they handled it, before we even get to the draft pick, the way they handled it was foul and doesn't really match up with what Raheem Morris told that group and told us, by extension, how business would be done in Atlanta going forward. But on top of that, Mike, they were 7-10 last year. They're one of the worst defenses in football.
They had all their defensive stats. Oh my God!
All their defensive stats are trash. Okay,
they need to be getting to the quarterback instead of worry about getting a backup quarterback or a future quarterback.
Okay. 2023, defensive stats are trash. You sign Kirk Cousins. You've got Raheem Morris, who has won a Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator. So a defensive-minded head coach. You've got your pick. You've got your pick of any defensive player you want. Pick a position. Reach for a corner if you want to. You got the first defender off the board. You could have him.
Yeah.
Except you didn't do that. You took Michael Penix Jr., a developmental quarterback who's 99 years old, by the way. So
who's got an injury history himself. And I know, check my EKG. I get it. I like the kid a lot. Kid's a baller. I like him. But look, man, like, for me, the thing is, it's like, if Kirk Cousins had been in Atlanta for 10 years, and we're coming off an Achilles at age 36. And they decided to draft his heir apparent. We've seen that move before. Like I mentioned, Green Bay did it twice, and it worked out both times.
But never in the top 10. Never.
But never in the top 10.
And never in the top 10.
What Raheem Morris said actually does make a lot of sense in terms of, like, we want to solidify this position, and we don't anticipate picking up here again. Okay. I'll also say, and this is why I tend to give these teams the benefit of the doubt, because, Michael, as you know, they've spent infinitely more time thinking about this from every angle, studying this, examining this. They're privy to a lot more information and insight than we are. One of the reasons I don't love draft grades is you just give this knee-jerk instant analysis to something that we just learned last night. Where one of the reasons they probably didn't tell Kirk Cousins or his agent sooner is because they knew that shit would have got out. If they'd have told Kirk Cousins or his agent or anybody else their plans to draft Michael Penix at 8, which, by the way, well, let me say two things
just
at the same
quarterback.
Time.
We're looking,
or a quarterback at 8. Because not that anybody was going up to get Michael Penix. You know what I mean?
You don't have to say at 8. You don't even have to say at 8. You can say
it'd have gotten out.
We're considering quarterbacks. Just want to let you know.
But even the one they wanted, if they wanted Penix at 8, I don't believe there was any danger of somebody going into the top 7 to get Michael Penix in particular. But regardless, they have game planned and strategized and been in meetings and lost sleep over this, I'm sure, and thought about this from every angle. We're just like, you know, coming in off the top rope being like, okay, this is a stupid decision. So that's the part of me that's like, okay, I get the long-term outlook. From an emotional standpoint, and this is why I'm on team Kirk Cousins here, who continues to laugh all the way to the bank, like no matter how bad you feel for him, my man's okay.
Tommy, $100 million guaranteed.
And he's going to start. This is not how you start the relationship. For crying out loud, they just did the press conference. And now he's on a 2-year clock? They just introduced him.
Exactly.
It's like, so why bring this into the relationship at the very beginning of what you hope to be a 2 to 3 year window? Let what's understood not be spoken. Like, he's 36. We all know how old he is. So, yes, you need a long-term solution at quarterback. But to address that with your first pick of the Kirk Cousins era, it just throws a whole bunch of – it just pisses on the hypothetical championship parade that they were throwing in downtown Atlanta.
I'm going to tell you another problem I have with it. You know, Raheem said these guys go off the board fast. You know, we saw it last night. The
six
new math in the NFL, 6 out of 12. It's it's like a great shooter. It's like Steph Curry's shooting percentage from 3. 6 out of 12, you know, boom. Quarterback right there. They come off the board fast, says Raheem Morris. You know who also leaves the board fast? Head coaches. Every year, there are like 7 or 8 of them who are out of jobs. And nobody has a 5-year plan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
4-year plan, maybe.
Were they drafting picks for the next guy?
Hey, look, right. I'm not thinking about the future right now. I know we're working, you know, the collaborative thing. That's why a lot of it is just, you know, 90% BS, but it entertains me. Like, when they have a guy like Terry Fontenot, who is thinking about the long-term future of the franchise, he's the GM, and then you have the head coach. All the head coach speaks the language of right now. The future is tomorrow, maybe. I can't even give you May. It's tomorrow. For a head coach, you got to win. And so, look, you know how it is. You think about Brian Daboll as a perfect example. Brian Daboll came into a bad situation in New York. Mm-hmm. They made the playoffs in year one. They shouldn't have. It was not a great team, but he made the playoffs look like they're better than they actually were. Year two, he's on the hot seat. I'm on the hot seat? What do you mean I'm on the hot seat? I can't. I thought we had an understanding. This is a rebuilding situation. Well, you won last year, so maybe it's not as bad as you thought. You know, like, owners and general managers will flip the script on you in over the course of 18 months. So I don't understand what Raheem Morris, hey, man, you ain't that comfortable unless you got a part of ownership in your contract.
Right.
Don't get so comfortable when you're thinking about the future. We don't want to do this again. If you don't want to do this again, you get the best team on the field right now. Go ahead and win the South and see what happens. I just think it's the worst thing in Falcons history is 28-3, but this is in the top 5.
That's a loaded top 5. You know, somebody who grew up watching the NFC West with the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons going at it. Look, I'm gonna tell you, that's a crowded top 5 right there.
They forgot to check a box and let Deion Sanders become a free agent? That's probably number two.
Dude, it's a long list is what I'm getting at. I didn't watch
Mike
Belichick. I didn't watch Belichick. But whether on camera or off camera, he's somewhere laughing his ass off right now. I mean, because it's baffling. It really is baffling because, okay, like, why would you pay $100 million guaranteed for a quarterback controversy, for an inevitable quarterback controversy? Because, like, you're bringing this dude in, this young guy.
You can
in
get
building.
That for free, right? Why are you paying
free?
For that?
It's like, if you know, like, get a cheap bridge quarterback. Go get Gardner Minshew. and then draft Michael Penix, like the Raiders theoretically were going to do at 13. It's like why would you invest so much in something that you're already deciding is short term? Like, you're already looking beyond the guy you just brought in the building.
He hadn't even started.
Like, he hasn't even started playing yet. And it's just I'm trying real hard, Kirk Cousins, to be the shepherd here. I'm trying to be like, you know what? I get it. But every time I say I get it, I'm like, nah, this was not the move. Michael Penix, if Kirk Cousins plays well, Michael Penix will be 26, 27, maybe even 28 years old at the end of this contract. I know they can get out of it after a couple of years. By the time he takes over, like, when is he going to play? Like, they looked at Green Bay. I think what they're skipping over with the Green Bay and Jordan Love part of it is the part where, like, that shit was uncomfortable and difficult and stressful for a while. And Green Bay lucked out because Love turned out to be good. But it wasn't a sure thing. You understand what I'm saying? But that dude sat for, what, 3-4 years? I mean, like, that's just not –
same with Rodgers.
That's not the way this works. That's not the way this – that way you don't get that time to see this thing through. Hendon Hooker went last year in the third round. And he's an older guy. I think he was 20 – might have been 26 when he came out of Tennessee. Might have been 26. He went in the third round. Okay, I could see that. So if you want to take a quarterback, if you're Atlanta, take a Spencer Rattler or somebody like that in the later rounds, or somebody like to come in and really be ready in about 2 years or so, that's fine. The eighth overall pick on a backup quarterback,
or take McCarthy,
who shouldn't see the field, if all goes well, he won't see the field in 2 to 3 years. So now Kirk Cousins walking into a situation where he like, well, I mean, I know I'm a short termer, I'm a temporary employee. That's just not the way you start or lay a foundation for a relationship. It's already a foundation of distrust. And listen, Kirk Cousins is the most hired gun quarterback in recent memory that we've seen. Okay. Like, hardcore businessman. We know that about Kirk Cousins, but still, like, this just already starts things off on a funky, like, this puts the dirty in Dirty Birds. Honestly, this just feels dirty. And I like Michael Penix a lot. I like him a lot. He's not for this situation. Yes. I don't know if I liked him in the top 10 necessarily, but 13, 8, whatever. You talked about it. It's a new day. Quarterback's going 6 out of 12. Bo Nix is probably not a first round caliber talent, but he went number 12 overall. That's just where we are.
He is to me.
I feel bad for Michael Penix. I feel bad for Michael Penix because it's like, I would have liked Michael Penix to play sooner rather than later, not go into a situation where he's got to sit for 2 years at least. Doesn't make sense.
I mean, if you want to develop a dude, go J.J. McCarthy, and then you got somebody who's a little bit younger, so it still doesn't make sense. But if you want to do that, you want to have a developmental prospect, give him a couple years to learn, go with the guy who'll be 23 when he starts playing, not the guy who's going to be –
I'm serious, though. I'm serious. If Penix works out, if Penix is the next Love or Rodgers or whatever, and this plan works out, I will not take this back. I will not say I was wrong, because they could have still gotten Michael Penix without investing this much in Kirk Cousins. Maybe in the meantime, Kirk Cousins takes him to the playoffs. Maybe Michael Penix benefits from sitting and watching Kirk Cousins, I guess. But still, this was just a bad allocation of resources in my mind. But again, Terry Fontenot, his staff, Raheem Morris, they spent countless hours examining.
I'll tell you, he was happy about it, though.
They also have other rounds, which I like to say, the draft is not one round, so we'll see.
That's right. Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
Who's
happy? I'll tell you, he's happy about it.
Who?
Defensive players. Defensive players on the Atlanta Falcons. Okay. Good. Keep it coming, baby. Keep it coming, because
they love drafting offense.
Yeah, and before that, before the draft, you know, if you're a part of that unit from last year, a lot of those guys need competition from elite competition, and they're not going to get it in round one. But as you pointed out, and as I'm telling myself too, I got to tell myself this every year, it is a long draft, and there's a lot of work to be done. We just got the tip of it. We got 32 picks, a lot more picks coming here, more than 200 picks coming.
I thought they were going to go Roma Dunze at 8. you know, once he got to him, even though they've invested
sweet.
A lot of money in wide receiver. But like, I thought they were just going to say, you know what, we got the most fantasy football friendly offense in history with Drake London on one side and a guy being compared to Drake London and Romo Dunze on the other side, and Darnell Mooney and Rondell Moore and Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, Kirk. That's what I thought they were going to do. I had no idea they were going to take a guy that's not even supposed to see the field this year. Speaking of Romo Dunze, he goes the next pick, number 9, which takes us to the number 1 pick. I think it's so fitting that the Bears are designing a bust-free blueprint for how to buffer and buttress a quarterback. Like, Caleb Williams, they didn't rely on Caleb Williams, this, wait for it, generational talent to come in and overcome his circumstances the way Justin Fields and so many other quarterbacks throughout history, typically Bears history, could not. Exactly. They said, we're not leaving anything to chance. Now, they only got, I think, 3 more picks, and we'll see if they do something to continue to beef up that offensive line, the defense. I'll come back to that point in a second for another team. But point being, it's like they are making sure, and it's also a perfect storm when you think about the fact that, as Caleb Williams pointed out, this was not a number 1 overall pick team. This was somebody else's number 1 overall pick. So while Ryan Poles is stocking the cupboard with talent over the last several years, basically nesting for this baby that's coming, you know, nesting for this franchise quarterback that's coming, in a way that they didn't do for Justin Fields, the previous regime. Now it's like, okay, you go to a situation as the number 1 overall pick that's not the worst team in football, which is unusual. That's one. But two, I mean, they stopped at nothing to ensure that Caleb Williams will not add to that list. He will not be the latest in a long line of busts in a Bears uniform. And getting him Romo Dunze, who gets to learn from Keenan Allen and be pushed by DJ Moore and open things up for Cole Kmet and have the defense play off, and, you know, with DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert in the backfield, with a defense that I believe was at the top of the league in run defense. I mean, this team right now, right away, the risk of hyperbole, right away can contend for a wild card spot. Right away. I thought you were going higher.
Okay.
What, like, super, no, not Super Bowl. What,
not Super Bowl. No, not Super Bowl, but, you know, contend for
division?
A wild card.
Oh, they
contend for a wild card spot.
They got two teams in the division. But they got two teams that are better in the division. Could I ask Detroit and Green Bay?
You think Green Bay's better than Chicago?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, Green Bay was a playoff team last year. Yeah.
No, I know
Green
they Bay's were. Better. They won a playoff game. I know.
And Detroit's and the official team of brothers Detroit, from another, that, is better.
Yeah. But I think
Chicago.
I think as I said, I looked at them. I think Chicago is becoming Detroit. Chicago is doing Detroit
things. They're doing it the right
way. Just like that. And you already mentioned it. And I remember you mentioned it earlier this year. You said, I like what Ryan Poles is building. And I very snarkily was like, what's he building? You know, I was like, okay. If there is, I ain't seen it. I didn't see it. I didn't see it, but I do now. You're right. He's made a lot of obvious, you know, big moves. He's made a lot of subtle moves. And now you're sitting here at 1-9 that turns into Caleb Williams and Romo Dunze and, you know, some nice moves in free agency. Even, picking up Sweat last year from the Commanders and then giving him a contract extension. I mean, these are really smart moves from the Bears. And you look at them and they're probably a year away from being serious contenders. See, I think they are a playoff team. I think they're on the level with Green Bay. I don't think Green Bay is so far ahead of, hey, you know what? Try saying, I own you this year. Go ahead. Try to keep that going. Try to keep that little narrative going. Nah, I think that didn't age well. So I don't think Green Bay is so much better than Chicago. And they'd be like, I wouldn't have to worry about them. That's competitive. But next year, I think they're one draft and free agency period away from being in the position where Detroit is right now. Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, no, I don't think Super Bowl contender. Wow.
A year away.
Even still. No, even still, that's impressive. I don't think there's any way Caleb Williams can, like, all you got to do is throw it in the area. With them three dudes, all you got to do is just throw it in the general vicinity. Caleb Williams could do all the freelancing and all the off-schedule shit he wants. Caleb Williams could throw it left-handed. Caleb Williams can close his eyes. Like, chances are Keenan Allen, Romo Odunze, or DJ Moore, one of them suckers is going to come down
Keenan
with.
Keenan
like,
Allen.
It's just
especially.
Insane. Ooh. Like, overnight, they go from DJ Moore and we need more to, like, having one of the best receiver rooms in the NFL practically overnight.
I got to tell you, yeah. Chicago, this is like you mentioned the other day, it was like, you know, BC, what was life like before Caleb?
Yeah.
And there are many people in Chicago who's like, they're walking around. Be careful. Be careful. They're walking around. They're bumping into each other. They don't know. They don't know. You know, they take the L. They have like a routine. They don't even know where the L is anymore. They don't know what the Chicago River is anymore. Like, everything is unfamiliar because Chicago has never had this
offense.
They've never had a quarterback with offensive weapons.
Yeah.
Like, in tandem.
They've never been explosive. They've been looking over at Minnesota and Green Bay and, hell, even Detroit, and been like, damn, why can't we have none of that? They always been running. They've been stuck in the 1940s and 50s in black and white and Mike Ditka and Dick
Butkus. And here's the other thing.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Everything's changed. Everything's changed. They got a quarterback. They got receivers. And they about to get a dome stadium. Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the monsters of the Midway. You're thinking like that wind chill coming off Lake Michigan. It's awful, by the way. It's awful. I'm not talking about December, January. October, November, it's terrible, okay?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. Now you're pretty much, you're a 21st century dome, high offense kind of team. You're a 48 to 45 kind of team now.
This is how you do it. Like, they are going to make Caleb Williams a star if it kills him. it's like, bro, you will not make you a star. That's how you do it. I mean, but also, I would imagine Odunze, how highly rated he was the top guy on the board as well. Like, I think Ryan Poles, if he'd have seen a defensive tackle that was better than Odunze, he'd have taken a defensive tackle. If you'd have seen an edge rusher that was better than Odunze, he'd have taken that guy. This isn't just, hey, we're going to go out of our way no matter what, board be damned, rankings be damned, to get a receiver to make this quarterback's life easier. No, this was Romo Odunze, like, in a lot of people's minds, was right there. And some even preferred him. I know this is blasphemous for you. Some even preferred him for one reason or another to Marvin Harrison Jr.
It's funny. These people.
I'm saying some people.
I hate that I just have to tell
some people.
Why do I have to keep telling people?
Don't tell people. Just go CJ Stroud. Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb.
I mean,
Odunze was highly regarded. He was highly regarded. I'm just saying, highly regarded.
That's nice. He's highly. You know, he's good. He's good. He's a good player.
He's
but
a good
like,
player.
I had to tell people last year, like, stop. CJ Stroud is the class. He is the top of the class of quarterbacks. Marvin Harrison, top of the class. The neighbors, all you neighbors people, calm down.
Well,
he's a good player.
I'm glad you feel
and
that.
And I'm
way.
Talking about you. I'm talking about you, Chris Sims. I see your rankings. I hear your commentary.
You
I hear your commentary. Come check back. Check back with me. Let's see. How about Halloween? Let's check in on Halloween. I want to say next year. Halloween. Let's see how we feel about it.
I'm glad you feel so strongly. I still think you should.
I just know it.
Okay, good.
Sometimes it's what I know.
That's great. Leaving for me at number four, because you should have sense enough to take Drake, but you won't. You're gonna take a receiver and be out the playoffs. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about our dynasty. Dynasty rivalry.
The Patriots, they sat and they took Drake. They took your advice and they took Drake.
Take Drake.
Your thoughts.
I thought it was a great pick for the Patriots, despite what that hater, that TV hater, Bill Belichick had to say. But this was like,
what
did
he say? Because I didn't watch it. I was in the car. What did he say? I was on the road. What did he say?
Basically, it's like, hey, his footwork is a mess. You know, there's a lot to clean up here. But I saw Brian Hoyer last night, former Patriot quarterback.
I don't want to get nothing from Bill Belichick about But I don't hear never Bill Belichick about evaluating quarterbacks.
Exactly.
You ain't here. You picked Tom Brady 199.
Right.
What the fuck do you know?
and that's what Hoyer said last night. So Belichick was going out there.
Why do it's like rich people telling somebody like, yeah, man, I don't know if you're doing that right. Like, you ain't never had to work. You was born with a silver spoon in your mouth, for crying out loud.
Generational wealth.
20 years.
You just stood there.
You don't know nothing about this struggle of evaluating.
You stood there and was like.
You ain't had to evaluate. You could miss on Rohan Davey and Kevin O'Connell and all the different people he took in the middle rounds that never turned out to be shit. You could pick all those people. Because you had Tom Brady and it never mattered. Then when you had to actually find a quarterback, he's now a backup in Jacksonville. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time.
That.
He has forgotten more football in the last 24 hours than I will never, ever know. I respect the hell out of this man. But one area he is not should not be allowed to discuss is the struggle of developing a quarterback, because you never really had to. go ahead.
And then beyond that, you talk about evaluating quarterbacks like the Rohan Davies and other quarterbacks that he's taken, including Cliff Kingsbury. He took draft Cliff Kingsbury in the sixth round. But when he had a chance to evaluate Tom Brady at the end, he messed that up too. You ain't even get that right. Oh, he's done. He wasn't done. Then he goes and wins his seventh Super Bowl.
God.
But it was funny. Belichick was hilarious last night.
Was he good?
No.
He was good on TV?
I mean, it's fine. But I'm saying he's hilarious, wink, wink, hilarious, in a way where he wasn't trying to be funny.
Yeah.
I just want to say this just parenthetically. He had his Patriots draft needs up there. This fool who has drafted two wide receivers in his entire head coaching career. Two wide receivers over
in the first round?
Several seasons in the first round.
Derek Alexander and N'Keal Harry. Yeah. I want to say
he's got quarterback. He's got quarterback. He's got cornerback. He's got ain't a receiver to be found. Dude, they averaged 13 points a game last year. The Patriots receivers are so bad that you never hear this. Kendrick Bourne, who we like, a Patriots receiver, is saying, hey, we need Brandon Ayuk.
Recruiting competition, right.
Receivers don't say that.
Watch out for KJ Osborne, low key.
I like KJ Osborne too. I like him. But Belichick somehow Drake May. Yeah. But despite that, I think the Patriots needed to do that. You're not going to get Caleb Williams. He's gone. Jaden Daniels falls to you. You got to take him too. It was Jaden Daniels or Drake May? You had to take one of those guys. And I think May has a lot of things that I like. I keep hearing people talk about his footwork, sure, and his inconsistency and some things that he doesn't have. I like what he does, what he can do. He can sling that
thing. Well, that's the point.
And you know what I like about him? He has a passion to be great. He is passionate about football. He's passionate about learning. He was great last night. Winning a press conference gets you, you know, maybe a cup of coffee. That's it doesn't really do much for you. But he said the right things last night, talking about working with Jacoby Brissett, who he met through Sam Howell, North Carolina guy in Washington last year.
Yep.
So he gets to sit, I'd say sit and let him learn. Sit for a year.
Yeah.
It's fine. Great pick.
Or when he's ready. Like, don't rush it. No, I was mostly being facetious about Belichick because I'm just like, dude, you had Tom Brady forever. But like, we all know that Brady, in many respects, became who he was because of Belichick's tutelage and learning defense from the Belichickian perspective. Having said that, and again, I didn't watch Bill last night, so I don't know. I'm accepting your representation as to what he said, but it kind of like it irks me a little bit that a coach would talk about things that are coachable and fixable. Like, okay, he's not a finished product. Should he be at 21 years old?
Coach.
Like, what rookie? I think he said the other day, there were two rookies, I forgot who the second one was, that were ready to play day one. One of them was Lawrence Taylor. Or maybe that was the only one that was ready to play day one was Lawrence Taylor. It's like, he's a rookie, he's raw. It's your job to not tell us what he can't do, but see what he can do. and fix those correctable issues. Have a quarterback coach or a quarterback tutor or an offensive coordinator or a staff that takes the time to fix those issues. Tom Brady was not the Tom Brady that we knew when he came out of college.
Absolutely.
Tom Brady wasn't the Tom Brady that's the greatest of all time a year into 2 years into his career. Tom Brady
really was.
He became this lethal deep ball passer around circa 2002 to and then 3, 4, 5, like 2001. Tom Brady wasn't slinging that thing.
2002,
like that. He had a stronger arm. Right. He had a stronger arm as time went on.
Even in 02, where he led the league, imagine these days, he led the league in touchdown passes with 28.
That's 28 touchdown passes.
28 touchdown passes.
14 interceptions, right?
14 picks. That's right. Yeah. But he was not a deep ball guy then. So he learned.
It's amazing the stuff we remember.
Tom Brady.
It's amazing the stuff we remember. Like we omit Michael Jordan losing in the first round 3 straight years, but remember how many touchdowns and interceptions Tom Brady threw in 2002. Well, like, why does that come to mind?
Michael Jordan, a 37-45 Jordan team losing in the first round doesn't count, but a Michael Jordan team that had
kept
like
score
40, kept 45 score. To 50 wins, never lost. They never lost in the first round, but I mentioned Brian Hoyer last night, just a line he had when he was talking about when he heard Belichick say that about quarterbacks. And Hoyer was like, that don't mean nothing. Belichick thinks everybody sucks. He thinks all quarterbacks suck. And he thought that about Brady. Like, all his lines about Brady. I could get this from Johnny effing Foxborough. You mean to tell me, Brady, you can't make that throw? So he's just a hater anyway when it comes to quarterback. But the Patriots, I think they had a really good night last night. And I think, to your point about the draft, it just doesn't stop after round one. They are in a great position. Because they do need some wide receiver help. They're in a great position tonight because I see a lot of good receivers on the board who could really help them.
Oh, yeah. Draft's just getting good. All right. So Marvin goes 4 as expected. That was chalk. I'm gonna touch on 5 real quick. And Jim Harbaugh, Joe Ortiz, and the Chargers, and taking Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame. I know there was a lot. I'm sure there were a lot of Chargers fans out there disappointed.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They didn't take Malik Nabers or even Romo Dunze for that matter, or even Brock Bowers, some weapon to fill out a receiver room that is now lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Right. And I'm just like, here's one just reminder for everybody. It's like the old adage of like, oh, they got to get somebody to help their quarterback. You know what helps your quarterback? Protection. You know what else helps your quarterback? A run game. Okay. You know what else helps your quarterback? Defense. So when you think about it, and this is like Captain Obvious at his finest, but like every quarterback you pick, every pick you make at any position helps the quarterback.
Helps your quarterback.
Every pick, because if you make your team better, you make it to where your quarterback doesn't have to score 40 points to win.
If you draft a quarterback at number 8.
Touche.
Anyway, go ahead.
I walk right into that. I walk right in, which lets us further know what an awful pick that was. Great player, awful pick. No, I walk right into that. That'd be the one caveat. Yeah, that doesn't help your quarterback to take his backup, but it does help your team. All jokes aside, it does help your team. It is a very backup quarterback is a very important position, just not in the first round, not in the top 10. Anyway, but Joe Alt to me is a phenomenal pick because now protecting Justin Herbert, keeping your $275 million, whatever it is he got, investment healthy, giving him time to throw to whatever receivers you eventually get him, making sure he's not in third and long all the time because you might be able to run the ball with a better offensive line, okay? Managing the game and controlling the clock and not playing from behind all the time because, you got a run game or even maybe your defense giving him the ball back more. It's like building the entire team helps the quarterback. So I just wish people would stop getting frustrated when a team doesn't address wide receiver at the outset, even though it is a glaring need for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, what did you think of as somebody who is, I think, now what's the line? You've never been broken up with? Is that what it is? You've never been broken up with? Did you tell us
well,
that?
Well, I used to be fond of saying that I've never been broken up with in a relationship. But I've definitely been broken up with professionally.
Okay.
I mean, let's call it what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Me too. It was a short one. It was a short marriage. It was a short marriage back in the day with Fox. But I would say maybe have you ever, but I'm talking about a long time ago, Mike. Long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever looked across the room and said, you know what? I'm going to shoot my shot. I probably have no chance, but let's see. Let's see what happens because that's what the New England Patriots and Minnesota Vikings did with Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Hey, how about Herbert? I can imagine Telesco and Harbaugh saying, what? Who?
Joe Ortiz.
I'm sorry. No, that's right. Telesco.
Yeah, Telesco in Vegas now. Yeah, he's in Vegas now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Herbert who? Justin Herbert? How about the Patriots and Vikings going to the Chargers and saying, yeah, well, you know what? We'll take Justin Herbert off your hands. Here's a pick.
Won't you take some inspiration. Like, I don't know. You don't like Justin Herbert for some strange reason, but okay.
I mean,
he's fine. No, why not? Closed mouths don't get fed. So it's like, why not shoot your shot? To answer your question, have I ever done that? No, because I mean, this is going to shock you. I've never had game like that. I've said this before. Al Gore invented the internet. I invented no game game. I am the original no game game dude. Okay.
That's effective though.
And I retired early. I probably have a lot of yards on the field. I retired at the peak of my powers. Who knows what I could have done if I'd have still been in the game, beyond the age of 22, but I'm not complaining. I'm happy. I tell my wife all the time. I'm very happy. I wouldn't change a thing. So had I played longer, like had I played in today's era, had I had the technology that today's players have at their disposal, if you took me and put me in today,
can't compare eras.
No, because
don't you know that? Can't compare eras.
Because long before people were sliding in DMs, I was asking for email addresses. I was ahead of my time. I was already doing the kind of back channel communications way. Like, yeah, I walk around with a pen and paper getting numbers or whatever. But like, if I had just DMs. Snaps and
but you know what that was
Facebook and all that. It's if I was actually had Facebook when I was though if I now, nowadays these dudes don't even need game, they just slide in DMs like they ain't got to walk up to nobody and shoot their shot no more. Crazy. Now, they could do it from afar,
but walking around
from distance.
Yeah, you walking around with a pen and a notebook, that's just reporting, man. You were just being a reporter going up there.
Yeah, hey,
I get your information. So is that Sarah? Is that with an A? Is it in with an A or an H? Okay, just want to make sure I don't get that spelling right. Okay, thank you. Is there another place I can contact you?
I'm talking like I'm 80 years old, man. Like we had MySpace back in the day. We had that. We had those types of things.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I love my cat, Tiger. And as my best friend, we speak our own language. With that, you love your litter. He does, because I use Fresh Step Outstretch litter. It absorbs 50% more waste and odor and requires less changing compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Less changing means more time playing. Right, Tiger? That's a yes. Find Fresh Step Outstretch cat litter in the pet aisle. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Going on. All right, so that's Herbert. Oh, the Giants. Now, talk about relationship. I love the Giants for loving the one they whip. I know you don't think highly of Malik Nabers. You think he's just...
I do think highly of Malik Nabers. Oh, okay. I think he is the second best receiver in this draft.
Okay, some would disagree. Some would disagree. You know?
I know.
From the best receiver factory in the country, you know? I know you disagree with that.
No, you know? Look. Hey, It's competitive. You know, Ohio State's got some pretty good receivers in the league too. You know, one of them in your hometown.
They got a few. You know? They got a few.
Yeah, exactly.
They got a few. I'm not even an LSU guy. I'm just doing that to mess with you. But Nabers is nice. We didn't get to this the other day. I was really discouraged at the idea of the Giants resetting. Like the Giants are just like, you know, as Quentin once called, what was Tay Diggs' character in The Best Man, the author? What was his name? What was his name?
How you gonna ask me on the spot? Oh, okay.
Harper Stewart.
Harper Stewart.
As Quentin told Harper, you're a serial monogamous. Like the Giants, I'm like, don't be this serial monogamous and be like, oh, wait a second. Daniel Jones had a good year after we took him 6th overall. Brian Daboll, you brought up earlier, the quarterback whisperer, fixed Daniel Jones. Here's $40 million. We ain't going to pay Saquon Barkley. We're going to pay Daniel Jones. And then somebody come along, and then all of a sudden now you're drafting J.J. McCarthy because he's the next hot thing, and his stock is rising throughout the process. And Daniel Jones got hurt last year on a team that wasn't that good, that doesn't have a whole lot around him. And now it's like, you're moving on already? Like, no. Love the one you with. You made that bed, sleep in it, make his life easier. Yeah. And they did so by drafting Malik Nabers. I'm so glad they didn't. They resisted the temptation of taking McCarthy or Penix or Nix. Look, maybe they would have wanted Drake May, you know, if for some reason he was there. I don't know. But this was always the move for the Giants in my mind. The move was always to get a legit bona fide one for Daniel Jones. And Malik Nabers is that dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was obvious. You say if there was a temptation, I don't know why they would have the temptation to take McCarthy or Penix or
that's
quarterback.
Their problem in New York right now. They're constantly hitting the reset button. Like, yeah, they're in franchise mode, hitting reset. Like, nope, that didn't go right. Reset.
Yeah, they lack weapons. They lack weapons. They lack explosive players. They lack guys on offense who have the confidence to wear what he's wearing, to come out and just be like. But Malik Nabers is a one in every sense. He looks the part, he plays the part, and he's in the right situation with a head coach slash offensive coordinator or a head coach offensive mind who knows how to utilize him. Because what I do like about him, in all seriousness, what I like about him is that he can play anywhere on the field. He can play any receiver position. I mean, you put him in the slot, yeah, he still can do work in the slot. He can do work outside.
An ideal slot. Yeah.
You know who he looks like? Comps are dangerous.
No, he looks like Jamar Chase. I know what you're going to say.
It's Rich coming from me.
You're going to say Jamar Chase? Right. You're going to say Jamar Chase. He looks like Jamar Chase. Yeah.
He looks like Chase. Looks like,
no, a lot of everybody that's watched him, looks like Chase with the ball in his hands, for sure.
Maybe a little faster.
Yeah.
Looks a little
faster. Not quite as thick. Not quite as thick, but runs angry with the ball in his hands. So McCarthy, I don't know that anybody won the draft the way that J.J. McCarthy did, because, again, we talk about...
J.J. McCarthy is winning the quarterback game in general in his life. He has just been placed in great quarterback situations his entire life. And now, I mean, you look at... At Michigan, everybody talks about the record, 27-1.
Yeah.
Yes, he presided over it. He contributed to it. His fingerprints are in there. But 27-1 is really goes back to the culture of Michigan and everything, all the building blocks that were put in place to what? Help the quarterback. So a lot of things at Michigan were there to help the quarterback, and now at Minnesota, whether it's the head coach, whether it's the running game, whether it's your left tackle, whether it's Justin Jefferson and Addison, no matter what it is a great situation for J.J. McCarthy to come in and sit for a little bit before he takes over as a quarterback in Minnesota.
Well, you know how much I love Sam Darnold. I know you're being funny. You know how much I love Sam Darnold. And I thought that maybe there was a chance that Sam Darnold had a chance to prove me right under Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. For the short term, but here's the thing about Sam Darnold, and this isn't the most important thing when it comes to quarterbacks, but I think it's an underrated aspect of the politics around quarterbacks and quarterback rooms. Mm-hmm. People love Sam Darnold. Like, Sam Darnold's a nice guy, as in, like, even if you're competing with Sam Darnold, it's not going to be like toxic when you're competing with him. Like, he's the kind of guy that's like, hey, if I'm starting, great, I'm going to give you what I got. If I lose the quarterback competition and I'm the backup, okay, cool. Like, it's not going to be a problem either way for Sam Darnold. He's talented. He could also talk to J.J. McCarthy about some of the things he's seen, whether they're ghosts or otherwise. He could talk to Sam Darnold about, look, I've been through the fires.
He'll never live that one down.
I've been through the fires. And so he could talk to J.J. McCarthy, I'm sorry, about the fires he's been through. So I think that is a plus to have a guy that can at least keep the seat warm until J.J. McCarthy is ready. But, like, we talk about the list of quarterbacks who've gone to bad circumstances, who've been drafted early to bad teams, and who knows their careers would have been otherwise. It's like, not only does J.J. McCarthy fall into the perfect situation in Minnesota, which everybody for this entire process, ever since Kirk Cousins went to Atlanta, has been saying, whatever quarterback goes to Minnesota, that's who's going to win the first round of the draft. But for Minnesota to get him for cheap, he didn't just fall to 11. They moved up for practically nothing, excuse me, to the Jets spot at number 10. Whereas most people predicted that the Vikings would have to move heaven and earth, give up that second first round pick and more.
Well, in order to get the guy they wanted, though.
Well, to get, it might have been McCarthy. Whether it was Drake May at three. No, but it wasn't limited to that. Whether it was Drake May at 3 or McCarthy at 4 or 5, the speculation was that if they were going to go up to get a blue chip quarterback, it was going to cost them both of those first round picks and more. When they made the trade with Houston, it was like, okay, they're going up. Well, they only end up going up one spot for cheap, saving assets. And, oh, by the way, later getting what some thought would be the first defender off the board.
They did go up
to Atlanta. They did, yeah, right.
Right.
The board came to them, and they went up at the same time. They went and got their guys, and the board came to them. But it fell perfectly for Minnesota because they were supposed, like, Dallas Turner was supposed to go to, I suppose, quote unquote, mock to Atlanta as the first defender off the board at number 8. They end up getting Dallas Turner, getting their quarterback, and not having to empty the cupboard or throw the kitchen sink at a team, whichever one you prefer, in order to get said quarterback, which bodes well for J.J. McCarthy. Now there are more opportunities to add talent to the rest of the team. Now the long-term future isn't compromised because they moved, say, now San Francisco lived to tell about it, but they didn't have to make a Trey Lance-type trade in order to go up into the top three or four to get the quarterback. J.J. McCarthy lands in a great situation, and that situation was not compromised by the Vikings' pursuit of a quarterback.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was really good. And, you know, I think he's in a good situation for the reason you mentioned off the top, that he's in the same quarterback room as Sam Darnold. So I don't think Michael Penix is in a good situation being in the same quarterback room with Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins is still like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, I don't think is going to be, you know, Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy, it's not a surprise to Darnold or any other quarterback.
He's on a one-year deal.
Minnesota's roster. They were looking for a quarterback.
Right.
And, you know, you've got that kind of guy who has been a high draft pick himself, who has been a number of places, who has seen some things, and probably will compete with you. I think J.J. McCarthy, I think he'll eventually, like, obviously he's their quarterback of the future. He is their quarterback of the future. I do not think that he'll be their starting quarterback on day one. The first game of the season, I do not think J.J. McCarthy will be the starting quarterback for the Vikings.
Right.
I think it would be your boy Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and I think Sam will do well, because for relatively well, for the same reasons that we're talking about. It's just such a great situation. Real quick, Bo Nix. Let's go through all six quarterbacks. Well, we didn't do Jaden Daniels. We knew he was going to Washington. But Bo Nix, you feeling that pick? That felt like a reach, but I think this is the day and age we're in. Like, they were desperate for a quarterback. They could not get left hanging without one. They couldn't go into the season with Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson. Was it Ben Tanucci? They couldn't do that. They had to take a QB. I like Nix. I liked him at Auburn. I definitely liked him at Oregon. This is one of those where it's like, they say drafting for need, especially in the first round, will get you in trouble. But I think with quarterback, that might be the exception.
I think it's the exception.
You got to take one.
And I like the pick for them. You know, let's bring it full circle. Well, Bill Belichick used to say all the time when he was before he was media Bill Belichick, head coach Bill Belichick used to say all the time, look, if you really like the guy, you got to take him. It, especially if you feel like there's some momentum coming. So there will be times you will overdraft a player because, you know, if you don't get them here, somebody's going to swing around and get them before you get another opportunity. And for Denver, that was their only choice because of all the mistakes that they've made because of the Russell Wilson trade. So they had a first round pick. They got no second round pick. Their next pick after 12 was like in the 70s.
Right.
And you don't have a quarterback. So
anybody remember that? Like, we talk about reaches, and we talk about like overdrafting.
Yeah.
Like, if this dude hits, if Sean Payton has his quarterback, if he has his next Drew Brees or poor man's Drew Brees, is anybody gonna remember whether he went 12th or 23rd?
No. Yeah. So you can talk overdrafting all you want. You can talk that all day long. But if you don't have one, if you don't have a quarterback, you do what you got to do. And that's what the Broncos did. Okay. Overreach for you, but for us, thank you. We didn't have to trade up. We just sat here at 12. We wanted to get one of these quarterbacks, and they got the last one, I guess, projected. The last one projected to be someone who could come in and play in sometime in year one.
But, I mean, there's McCarthy. There's McCarthy as the best situation. The Bears are, well, McCarthy had the best existing
situation.
Caleb's
got the best situation. Caleb's the one. But, then McCarthy.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, look, as long as Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, Hockenson comes back healthy, Addison, Kevin O'Connell coaching him, I would still give the edge to Minnesota. Because of the coach who, like, this dude knows how to turn water into wine as a quarterback whisperer. So I would say the coaching, edge Minnesota, wide receiver one, edge Minnesota, tight end, edge Minnesota. I would say, but it's close. Caleb Williams, he's in an incubator, he's in a cocoon. It's great. But having said all that, Bo Nix in Denver, Sean Payton, Lombardi, Webb, he's got minds to mold him from a coaching standpoint. They're going to put weapons around him. Got some pretty good running backs. Cortland Sutton's still there. They traded Jerry Jeudy. Marvin Mims is talented. You know, like I like the situation Bo Nix finds himself in. All he's got to do is just get the ball out of his hands. Just do what Sean Payton tells you. You should be fine. Don't be Russell Wilson, and you'll be fine. That's not a shot at Russell Wilson. That's more about
No, really.
That's about Sean Payton and how he views
that
Russell
is.
Wilson.
That's the way. I agree with you. I know exactly what you meant. That's the way. Yeah. That's the way Payton looks at it. And sometimes sometimes to his detriment, he looks at it that way. Like, hey, run my play. And right. I'm gonna give you three plays. If you go audible, you go audible to one of the three plays I've given you. Otherwise, you go off script, we're gonna have problems. And I think that was part of the problem with Russell Wilson, that he didn't do some of the things that Sean Payton wanted. But Bo Nix will.
I like Bo Nix a lot. We've been talking about quarterback the whole time. You know what my favorite pick of the first round was? My favorite pick.
Ooh, who was it?
Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers to the Raiders was my favorite pick of the first round. You know why it was my favorite pick of the first round? First of all, Brock Bowers is among my favorite players in this draft. Dude, all he did since he set foot on Georgia's campus was punk people. And that's what Antonio Pierce wants to do, is punk people. Like, if you look at, like, what Brock Bowers, and he's such a Raider. I don't think many people had him mocked to the Raiders because they thought the Raiders would go quarterback or defense. He's such a Raider in the way he plays, and he's such a compliment and a weapon and a perfect fit, because it's like, hey, Brock Bowers, if there is a weakness, he's not an inline guy. He's a little on the small side. He's a competitive blocker and a good enough blocker, but blocking, he doesn't block as well as he trucks people, or block as well as he mosses people, or block as well as he runs after the catch. Well, guess what he doesn't have to do in Las Vegas, okay, with Michael Mayer at tight end? You don't have to be an inline guy. He's a big slot receiver. He's a chess piece. Like, you know, so now you run out there with Brock Bowers and Devontae Adams and Michael Mayer and Zamir White. It's like, it's going to be there's an attitude, and he fits that. But the reason is really my favorite pick was the Raiders looked at it and said, okay, we're just going to take the best player on the board. This may not be a position of quote unquote need, but we're not going to panic. We're just going to take the best player, the best football player, regardless of how you define him from a position standpoint, whether you see him as a tight end or a big receiver or whatever. We can use this guy. He can help us on offense, and he adds to our personality, and we're just going to follow the board. We're going to let the board dictate who we take right here in the middle of the first round. I love their approach to that pick, and I love the fit for Brock Bowers.
I love the approach to it, too. I just wonder, and everything you said about Brock Bowers, the cosign on that. But do you think if they had been given the chance, let's say if the aliens hadn't taken over the Atlanta, the ATL aliens hadn't taken over. There we go.
There it is. We'd be there.
Hadn't taken over the Atlanta draft room.
Yeah.
You got Penix on the board. You got Bowers on the board.
Oh, they're taking Penix.
They take Penix?
I would have to think so. Because I would have to think that their logic, except they didn't spend $100 million, they spent $25 on Minshew. I would have to think that their logic would have been, hey, we need to solidify this position. And I could just see Mark Davis being like, man, you know, my dad would have taken Michael Penix because, you know, they love the deep ball in the Raiders organization. It could have been a black Ken Stabler. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could absolutely see.
That's right.
I could absolutely see them taking Michael Penix over Brock Bowers. But nonetheless, they may end up. Look, Marvin Harrison was by many considered the best prospect regardless of position. I don't know that there's a better football player. I just love the way he plays than Brock Bowers. And I think he's going somewhere where they're not going to ask him to do the things that he's not best at. They're going to move him around and let him just punk people. Same way he did at Georgia for 3 years in the SEC. You know?
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting little team.
It's a great pick. It's a great pick for the Raiders. And how often do we say that? A lot of times the Raiders do things and you're like, oh man, they just say, you know, they reached, or this guy's not that good. I'm just excited to see where he went. I actually thought he would go to the Jets. I thought the Jets would, I thought the Jets would take him.
But I like what the Jets did. I like the Jets taking a tackle because we talked about it. Like, the tackle's old. I like the Jets not sent. That was a good pick for the short and long term, taking the tackle, protecting Aaron Rodgers. Like, yes, would it have been cute to give him a tight end?
Also protects Aaron Rodgers.
What, a tight end? Like, or a weapon? Just yeah, throw sure. It to, no, yeah. They couldn't have gone throw wrong either way. But like, their tackles are old. One of them doesn't stay healthy all the time. Like, I thought that was a – offensive line has been a problem for them for years.
They're not that old.
Okay, they're not that young. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, so, early 30s. You know? Both of their tackles in their early 30s. Both of their tackles are really good too.
No, they are. So you don't have to rush. You don't have.
Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens, Mitty for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Outstretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Outstretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Rush the rookie in there. No, I thought that was a good pick by the Jets. Something else that is not often said. You and I could easily go pick by pick, but we're not going to do that. Let's fast forward to the end of the first round. Not the end of the draft, the end of the first round, and the curious case of Kansas City actually being able to get through to Buffalo. Like, if I'm Buffalo, 816 ain't getting into my – that's the area code in Kansas City, right? 816 ain't getting through. Like, that's Kansas City area code, 816?
It is.
Am I right about that? Yeah. That ain't getting through. Like, there's no way I'm going to help – the Chiefs. And I get, like, we've seen the Cowboys and the Eagles do draft picks before. That's how Devontae Smith got with the Cowboys, do draft trades before. We've seen the Vikings and the Lions. That's how Hawkinson got to the Vikings, was by way of the Detroit Lions. We've seen teams in the same division have intra-divisional trades. We've seen it. Having said that, there's just too much history, painful history if you're Buffalo, to watch the Bills facilitate the Chiefs getting the fastest dude in the draft. I mean,
and not just the fastest dude in the draft.
He's more than that. Nope. He's more than that. But the last thing the Chiefs need is speed. It's the last thing they need. You need to be giving them, you know? Hey, we need a receiver, but how about Kansas City? You have your pick of receivers that are remaining on the board. Why not? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not helping Kansas City beat us again. If I'm Buffalo, no, thank you.
Right.
That might be emotional. Okay. That might be irrational, but that's how I'd be approaching it.
And you know, I would say this too. If I'm Buffalo, I say, so why are you calling? First of all, how'd you get my number? First of all, how'd you get my number? But you're calling.
Brent, who?
You calling for
Andy? Who?
You're getting a receiver.
Right.
You're coming up for a receiver, and we need one. You're coming up for a receiver that you like. We know your offensive scheme. We know how you do.
Hey guys, why don't we like Xavier Worthy? Like, what are we missing here?
You're calling. You're trading with the Kansas City Chiefs, who need a receiver, and you're trading out of the first round. I just look. I've never said this before. This is the first time for everything. I'd love to hear Sports Talk Radio in Buffalo today. I'd love to hear what they have to say about Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and how they just keep testing people. They keep testing people. They keep making decisions And I know if you're a Bills fan, you've been through worse. You've been through some stuff, especially if you've been around for a little bit and you've seen some heartbreak. You've experienced it in Buffalo. But every move they make, they're just banking on the trust that their fan base has.
So loyal, on
the field and off the field, including the disaster that their stadium project has turned into, where they're looking for money from people that was not part of the plan. So all these things. So they're asking people to trust them on their stadium plan, which is a disaster. Trust us, Stephon Diggs, that's the right move. We moved on from an all-pro safety who was a team leader. We moved on from Mitch Morse, all these other people. We moved on. Trey White, everybody, but it's fine because we got a plan. What's the plan? I know it's a long draft. You go trade back again? You go keep trading? Hey, man, Xavier Worthy would look good in Buffalo. He looked good in Buffalo, but he's going to look even better in Kansas City. They're so smart. Kansas City is just smart. They know what they want. They go get it. They know what they want and they get it.
They do.
Smarter than you and faster than you.
As we bring this to a close, that's good. It's smarter and faster than you. I said who my favorite pick of the first round was, Brock Bowers. Like, what other pick or picks jumped out to you in the first round? Again, understanding that everybody's grade is incomplete. Or teams, you know? I mean, Carolina jumping in the last minute and getting the guy who said, hey, they told me they were going to draft me. Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. Ricky Pearsall, I like him a lot.
That was mine.
Yeah, Ricky Pearsall.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I was surprised by it. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that he went to San Francisco. I like him.
I do too.
I'm surprised he went to San Francisco when they had other options on the board too, who I thought would
be good. But he's got so many question marks at wide receiver, I guess. I mean, you think Ayuk's out the door?
It's not now, just next year. That's why the pick intrigues me.
Yeah.
Why they picked him, good player. I thought he'd go in the second or third round. Good player, Ricky Pearsall. But what does it mean for Debo? What does it mean for Ayuk? Or do they just keep all those dudes together? They keep them all together? And so I just wanted to see if there's something else coming, I'm intrigued by that. If there's nothing else coming and they're just going to roll with this and they feel like, hey, we would have been even more explosive last year if we had a weapon like Pearsall, who is great in the slot, but also can do some work on the perimeter. If we had somebody like this,
I like him.
When Kansas City locked us down in the Super Bowl, and they put their corners on us and we couldn't, and Debo was quiet, and Ayuk was quiet. If we had somebody, you know, I enjoy saying that. Had somebody else who could kind of loosen things up.
And the reason you enjoy saying that is because the Eagles were nowhere to be found. But I will say this, like you talked about, so smart. And Kansas City, they're smarter and they're faster. I would add richer. I would add the Eagles. They're smarter. They're faster. They're richer. I mean, they paid both receivers. They've been paying everybody.
They know what they have a good time, don't they?
Dude,
and they do this stuff on draft day, Mike. They do it on draft day.
They're like, draft day is our day. But not only do they seem to have a different cap from everybody else, shout out to their cap department, Howie Roseman and the way they manage their money.
Yeah.
But Quinyon Mitchell, man, we've been talking about offense because offense dominated the night. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a few defensive players. They may have gotten the best cornerback in the draft at pick 22. You know, like all those offensive players going early meant that teams that whose offenses are more or less intact, like Philadelphia, all right, like Baltimore, we got Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Those teams, or Detroit for that matter, getting Terrion Arnold, trading up, getting Arnold out of Alabama and helping solidify their back end on their defense. Those teams were able to get premier corners that maybe in any other year when offense isn't so deep, they were able to get them and add to their defense. But I loved Philadelphia just saying, come on. Yep, that's right. All y'all take these receivers because we got two. We got two that's getting paid already. We're good. Take all these receivers. Take all these tackles because we got
they're
two.
Ahead.
We got two that's getting paid already. Take all these tackles. Take a quarterback. Oh, we got one. We got one that's getting paid already. Oh, there we go. We got. We'll take some people.
They're ahead of the game.
Yep.
They're ahead of the game. They just got it. Now look. Now the pressure's on. Now the pressure's on the Eagles coaching staff. They feel like they got everything they need. They've given the coaching staff Nick Sirianni, we gave you a new OC. We spared you. New OC, new DC. Got A.J. Brown signed. So no more rants on WIP about A.J. Brown. He doesn't want to be here. Are they going to trade him? Nope.
That
he's
going to
be there. Devontae Smith is there. Yeah. Everything. Now, I'll tell you, my favorite looking corner went right after Quinyon Mitchell. Did you see my man in Detroit? Did you see him? Did you see what Arnold was wearing? Did you see that suit? That's Detroit, baby. That's
Detroit.
My man had a pink paisley. Pink paisley suit.
He knew where he was going.
That's what I'm talking about.
That was Jordan Addison from last season type ensemble. But yeah, no, that's clean. That's clean.
That was
a great moment. I like the okie doke that Brad Holmes pulled. Like, hey man, you know, our guy on the clock at the end of the draft, at the end of the first round, I don't want y'all to be mad at us if we trade out. Like, psych, we trading up. You know what I mean? That was a great moment. That was definitely a great moment for us.
And he addressed the crowd. I thought it was great when he addressed the crowd. Hey Detroit, hey, it's about the Super Bowl. You're getting a winner. We trying to get to the bowl. I like
Detroit Lions. They spending money. They spending some serious paper locking up their young guys too. We ain't even talk about that.
You look at some of the moves that these teams are. So we've already mentioned three NFC teams that are making moves that we're applauding, in a sense. I think, I don't know if you're applauding. You always applaud San Francisco. You love San Francisco. So give San Francisco applause.
No, I just don't like you.
All right. Yeah, okay. That's nice.
In a debate sense, in an adversarial sense, like a healthy rivalry.
No, you said it right the first time.
You said it right the first time.
I got it. Don't try to clean it up. You know, Philadelphia making great moves. And Detroit, too. Mm-hmm. Detroit, when we go look back, I should start working on this now. I should start working on this book now. We're going to look back 5 years. The draft hits. It's like Hitstown, USA, Hitsville. Motown,
yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
What they've done in the draft since Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell got there.
Stevie Wonder in the 70s era?
It's the 70s.
That kind of run?
Oh, we got another one. Oh, it's another one. Just cranking out the hits. Classic after classic. Yeah. You know what? They're going to win it this year. That's the last thing I'm going to say. They're going to win it. This area.
No, wait.
They're going to be like Dawn Staley. It's going to be they're going to have their Dawn Staley moment. Uncommon favor. You know? Hey, you had your heart broken last year in San Francisco, but this year. Is it in New Orleans? Is the Super Bowl in New Orleans this year? I don't know.
It is.
In New Orleans, we're gonna have Dan Campbell crying on the sideline like Dawn Staley. You'll say he'll give Dawn Staley a shout out. They winning it, Super Bowl champs, Detroit Lions. Mark it down.
So since you prophesied and you invoked Reverend Dawn Staley's uncommon favor, I'm gonna do what church people sometimes don't know to do, which is leave it there. I was going to ask you another question, but that's a great way to end the conversation. There's no reason to go on after you brought Dawn Staley into the conversation. So we're good. Good stuff, man. If the fun is just starting. Like we've had one round. There's so many talented people on the board. There's so many interesting picks that's going to happen. We'll probably see more trades. We'll see more defensive players get taken. Like we got the draft. Then next week, I mean, NBA Finals, NBA Playoffs, I beg your pardon. NBA Playoffs, getting more interesting. We didn't even touch on that. The draft, though, it's my favorite time of the year. What can I say? I'm obsessed with it.
And look, man, and I just want to say before we go, thanks for showing up from your hotel room. You made your bed this morning. You ready to go. Got on Zoom. Doing the show. Room looks nice. It's neat.
I brushed my teeth. I didn't shower, though, just in case you were curious.
Okay.
I did not shower.
That's good. You didn't have to share that.
And I wore this last night. That. I just throwing the same stuff. I just got it off the floor throwing the same stuff I had on last night. You know,
that's nasty.
In case you were,
okay.
In case you were curious. Not nasty.
Good to see you, man.
It's still clean. They're dirty, not funky. Dirty we can wear again. Funky's in a class by itself.
That's true. That's so true. That's a different conversation, too. What's dirty? Okay. But funky is something else.
That's exactly right.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.